Welcome to Sozo Talk Radio, the show where the host is too lazy to even pronounce so-so accurately. This is the most amazingly average to almost slightly better than mediocre broadcast that will be sure to astound you with impressive interviews and talk. Blah, 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 blah. Are they gone? Good. You can never be too careful. Illuminati spies are everywhere. But thankfully, they have notoriously low attention spans, and so it was necessary to fake them out with that utterly boring intro. Sozo is, in fact, a secret code word for soteriological bliss and existential ecstasy that can only be found in relationship with and in childlike abandonment to our loving Heavenly Papa and our Master and Commander, the Good Shepherd, and our salvation, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. I am your host, Daniel Lovett. Let us embark upon a glorious adventure, exploring the depths and mysteries of Christ, one interview at a time. SozoTalkRadio.com.
Welcome to Sozo Talk Radio.
Sozo Talk Radio.
So thank you for joining us on Sozo Talk Radio. On the line, I've got Mike Popovich. I first learned about Mike from his YouTube channel called Freedom Ministries. He was hosting some speakers that on his channel and from through his church, Freedom Ministries, if that's what it's called even.
Correct. Mike, yep.
Yeah. So tell us a bit about Freedom Ministries and how people can connect with you on YouTube and where else.
Yeah, you know, Freedom Ministries is just, Daniel, you and I chatted briefly. It happened not by something we desired to create. It was really a group of people started gathering at our house, and we started to see a lot of miraculous healings and different things. And so we were all really just believing that, you know, there's more to than the typical church that you and I grew up with, and that God still is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it really just kind of naturally evolved out of this gathering in our home. And now we've really set up a lot of these house churches and different things all over the world, actually in Dubai and lots of places in the U.S. And that's really all it is really trying to share the good news is that the church fathers, the early fathers taught, you know, the guys who were actually trained by the apostles and Paul and, you know, the Polycarps and all these different people. And it's a very pure and rich gospel. In fact, it really does mean the too good to be true news. And yeah. So we just try to stay true to that. You know, there's true of the news as it was, and the very inclusive news is what I believe. And you can go to freedomministries.org or just look up Freedom Ministries on YouTube and find us. And we just stream live, and the content is free, and just trying to get the good news to as many people as we can.
Yeah, we'll be sure to have the links in the description of this video on YouTube for sure. Your YouTube channel for people to subscribe to. I'd caught several episodes so far from your YouTube channel, and really, really enjoyed listening to that. I enjoyed listening to you and your presentation. At first, it was weird because, you know, we had talked about doing an interview, and then I was on Freedom Ministries, and I didn't actually maybe even realize I was watching Freedom Ministries on YouTube. I was watching you, but I didn't realize it was you. And I'm like, wait a minute, right. This is the guy I'm going to be interviewing. I'm like, yes, he's saying some cool stuff. Yeah, well, I would love for you to unpack some of that rich gospel. Like, what has the gospel come to mean to you, and what is your journey of your understanding of it? How has that progressed for you, and how, like, yeah, just dive into that.
Yeah, I think this is kind of like the early church gospel, and I credit to amazing guys like Brad Jerzak and Baxter Kruger and a lot of these, Paul Enns or Peter Enns, I'm sorry. And really the guys who actually studied the early church. And I believe this, as I believe what scripture says is God was in Christ reconciling the cosmos to himself. Therefore, go share this great news of reconciliation.
Yeah.
And it wasn't this, in fact, I heard Baxter at one time really rattle me, because I grew up, Reformed church. My father was Catholic. And so I was pretty much had this idea of separation my whole life, that we were separated from God because of our quote unquote sin. And there's no way we could have relationship with him until we, accepted him into our hearts and that we were separated. And I heard Baxter one day say, you know what? The gospel is not, you can accept Christ into your heart. He's in and through and holds all things together. All creation's in him. There's nothing outside of him that can be him. And this is John 1 and Colossians 1, and all these things that I skipped over all my life, even though they're very clear in scripture. And they said, the gospel truly is the revelation of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit have included you in their magnificent life, all by the work of himself. And when we come alive to that, and I think that's what we're really trying to do with our ministry as well, is, Romans 8 talks about all creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of sons of God. And a lot of times we have this idea that we're waiting on God, not realizing that he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we just need to become aware of how fearfully and wonderfully we've been made in this inclusion of this amazing family that we already have, that we are sons, that we're joint heirs. And he loves all humanity perfectly. And that's the message I think you and I probably share together, that we're trying to get out to the people that you've been included in this amazing life and all things are yours and he loves you perfectly. So I went from a journey of, I think, what most of us kind of grew up with separation and kind of intrigued by gifts. I was always intrigued by, wow, that person just was miraculously healed. And there's something there, obviously. To then like the inclusive gospel, like, wait a minute, all humanity's in him and all things are available at all times. Scripture says all things are possible to them who believe, and all the classic scriptures, and like, so really we're one with him. Everything that should divide us is union and not separation. And so, we've really just tried to make life as a son, as a joint heir of Christ, a natural thing, like you and I talked about. It should just be how we live and move and have our being, is what Paul talked about in Acts, that he's our life now. So whatever his life looks like is what our life looks like. And with that is the more we realize we're in union with him, I've been around business and ministry for a lot of years, and I really think the three fundamental things that I run into almost all the time of that, Jesus came to give us this great message of life and life more abundantly. And I find three things really that people are looking for. And there's all subsets of this, but really is one is, I find most people don't necessarily want to be millionaires, billionaires, et cetera, but they do want to live with without financial stress. What would it feel like to just know that all my needs are taken care of no matter what all the time? That's number one. And number two is, I think we really want to live free of these fears of sickness, disease, and we just want to live whole and healthy bodies. And last, I think, is relational. And it might be number one, it's to get rid of all guilt and shame that I think most religion puts on people, versus the love of God, which removes all of that. So to have fantastic relationships that are without guilt, without shame, and just enjoy pure love. And so those are the things that we're just committed to teaching people all over the world, is how to really live in this abundant life that I believe the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit have included in, and it's free. And the scripture says, hey, if he didn't spare his own son, how will he not freely give Daniel everything else?
Yeah. Well, that's beautiful. I was just researching something yesterday about people's reaction to the word free. Like, we just can't pass it up.
Yeah.
Like Amazon, free shipping if you get to this certain amount. Like, and then so we're always just like trying to figure out what else can we buy to get the free shipping, free.
Yes.
God has given us a free gift of a reconciled relationship.
Yes.
One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is Romans 5:11, how it's phrased, yes, in the Living Translation. It goes like this, that so now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends with God. And that to me has just long fascinated me, that we can be friends of God, just like Abraham was, just like Moses, that many are called, meaning all of us are called into this,
yes,
friendship. Few are chosen, it says, but you get to choose your chosenness.
And, yes.
You know, like any of us can take him up on the offer because Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice, opens the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as friends. And I love that. I love that scripture.
Very relational, isn't it?
Yes. That scripture you mentioned earlier, 2 Corinthians 5:19, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation.
Yeah. And then if we continue in that, it says, don't become reconciled, which was kind of the message I heard. Hey, it says, be reconciled, realize you already are, and start to live out of that oneness with him. It's be. Live out of your I am-ness, not I am not. And so, yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah, that he has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness, that Jesus has come to give us an abundant life. Yeah, it is. It's great news. It's better than, like you said, it's better than we thought. This
yes.
This good
and
news.
Now I can, now I don't, at least for me, is, you know, I always had this fear that, which the church fathers, it's interesting, didn't have. I know you've interviewed Brad Jerzak and some of my friends, and they would agree with this as kind of the church fathers' theology. I don't have to get Daniel in to the body of Christ. He's already in the body of Christ. Is he living out of its fullness? No, because he's not even aware of this amazing news. But I don't have to get them in. You know, my goal is, my relational goal now is not to get them into something, like as if they were out, but it's to reveal what's true about them. And now I can truly just love them like a brother, like we were talking about. I don't have an agenda except to demonstrate there's a God who loves you and how he sees that as I demonstrate my love to him. And it's very relational. And I just think it's wonderful. And that was, you know, Christ's message, really. He said, hey, love your brother as yourself. Now, we take that in the West because we've heard it so many times. But think about in the Jewish context is, you know, they thought they were the only chosen people of God. So the Samaritans weren't in. They were only half Jew. The Gentiles certainly weren't in. But then here's God telling them, you know, your word said, you know, an eye for an eye, for instance. But I say, forgive and love your brother as yourself. So now here's God himself telling them that the Gentile is their brother. Well, if he's their brother, that means we have the same father. And I just believe that's what the church gospel was, is all humanity was the Son of God. And we love them as a brother, no matter race, culture, religion, etc.
Yes, it's so true. I was just reflecting on something that Brad Jerzak had written about, you know, the children of God versus the children of the devil. And like, look, let's take a look at what the scripture has to say about that. Let's bring some clarity to this. And he says, living out of your identity as a son of God, as a child of God, versus copying the behavior or you know, whenever the Bible speaks of like the children of the devil, it's like that's, you're behaving that way.
Yes,
you're mimicking, you're imitating him rather than the Bible says imitate your father. And like Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who is in heaven, Father. He's like, my God and your God, after he rose again. He says, my Father and your Father, you know?
Yes.
Like we all are.
Now, to a Jewish context, again, that was tough, right? Like, because if you were considered a son, that means you're co-equal in the house. And that's where, if you go in John 10, where they, you know, Jesus is saying, hey, for what good work do you stone me? And he said, we're not stoning you for any good work, but the fact that you call yourself a son makes you a co-equal. So we're stoning you because of blasphemy, because you said you're the son. And they had this idea of a distant God, no idea that Christ in you, the hope of glory that was later going to be revealed. And then Jesus quotes Psalm 82, I think it is, where he says, your own scriptures say ye are gods. And it's a little Elohim. Mm-hmm. And then this part, I remember the first time I read it, it kind of shook me. And it says, and scripture cannot be broken. Your own scripture says ye are gods and scripture cannot be broken.
Yeah,
I'm only saying I'm the son of God. So what's the big deal? I remember that just rattled me going, wait a minute. We are so much more fearfully and wonderfully made than we can even comprehend, I believe.
Yeah.
So much divinity in us and creativeness that, wait, Jesus is saying we are little Elohim's in him. Well, the big Elohim, God, gives birth to children.
Yeah.
It's just fascinating.
Yeah, it's so true that we're part of him, that the a spark of the divine flame, the all, you know, all yes. consuming fire, we're a spark of the divine flame, that the I am is Danieling right now, is having a mic experience. I've talked about this in some of my other interviews too. It's interesting how you brought that up, because that to me is a profound thing. I was actually working on this whole chapter in a book I'm working on called The Christian Mystic, this whole chapter about our mystical union with God. And I talk a lot about John 10, because that's for a long time. When I first saw it in Bible college 20 years ago, I was shocked and surprised. And I knew it was going to be an integral part of my, I don't know, for some reason, it really resonated with me.
Yes,
I even adopted Psalm 82:6 as my email address for a little while there. You know, Jesus highlighting the fact that it says, you are Elohim. And the word there, you know, in the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the earth. Like we think that, some of us might still think that we began at our birth, but no, we're an eternal spirit that had a pre-existence with God, that were part of him. It's just mind-boggling. And when the revelation hits you, it's like, whoa, like God came to me one night. By the way, anybody can do this, can connect with God. And, you know, just take the time. Linger in his presence, be expectant. He came to me and he said, Daniel, I am in you and you are in me and we are one. And he said it over and over again. And each time, like more revelation was hitting me. I was like, whoa, this is amazing. And then he says, this is important. And he also showed me that I didn't have to convince anybody about this. Like they're all going to get it in due time.
I don't need
to convince anybody.
Yes.
So it's really quite something. Psalm 82:6. Look it up, people.
Yes.
And then it says, Psalm 82:7, it says, all of you are sons of the Most High God, but you will die like mortals. We have this temporal physical experience here. And this is all like training ground, baby boot camp type of scenario that we're in, to learn to love, to mature as a soul. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Apostle Paul, when he says, you know, six is always the number of man's effort. And so we, you know, our days on earth, we're trying to figure it out, like you said, Daniel, how to love and how to forgive like he does. And like you said, kind of almost like this training ground. And so six is our efforts. And then, but on the seventh day, when we pass out of this mortal body, and says, we all see with a veil right now, and he's calling our body a veil. It says, but when we see him, perfect love, face to face, we will be transformed into the same image by the Spirit. And so when we behold perfect love without any of our efforts at that point, we will be transformed into the same image. And I think that's just beautiful. So we do our best. We're trying to figure it out. And we can have heaven on earth for the most part here. And we do our best. And we're getting it more and more. I think, like, you know, with the Christian mystic, I think all of us are intrigued by that, because we have that divine spark. We have that divinity in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so when we hear about, wow, these miracles still happen today and all the time, actually. In fact, what we're just really trying to share with our church bodies, it should just be, I don't even want to necessarily call it a miracle. I want to just call it, no, it's life. This is what Jesus demonstrated. And we can teach people how to walk in it. And it's not hard. It doesn't take hours of fasting and praying and, you know, all the things I was taught growing up. There's a price to power. I thought, wait a minute, I thought everything was free.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't need to go spend months of religious activity to somehow, no, we all carry this divinity and we're all intrigued by it. So I love where you're going with that Christian mystic, because religion doesn't so much care for it, but humanity loves it.
Yeah. I'm writing a book, like I said, the Christian Mystic. The first book is going to be about, first volume, it might be a several volume thing. The first volume is going to be about encounters with Jesus. I just started a new Facebook group page too, Facebook community rather, facebook.com/themysticalchristian. And the Christian Mystic is right on the cover there. And it says, experience the mystery that is Christ. You know, Colossians 2 says the mystery is Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, and then enjoy a friendship with God. That's what being Christian mystic is all about, is enjoying a friendship with God, experiencing the mystery of Christ.
Yes.
It's beautiful, and it's for everyone. There's no one left out. It's for everyone.
Yes.
God came to for all of humanity and to redeem all the family of humankind. But I wanted to ask you in particular just about some of these miracles. These happenings of Christ in your midst.
Yes.
What are some examples? I'm sure people will be intrigued to hear. I am.
Yeah. You know, it's the whole gamut of, it's really those three things that we were talking about, those three human conditions of abundance and or lack of for most people, and health and relationships restored. And it's fascinating, you know, what really intrigued me about all this, which really kind of started my journey, was I was here and I heard this African pastor, you know, really just share bluntly and straightforward. He said, fantastic testimony. Two people were raised from the dead today in my church. And I looked around and I go, did nobody else, am I the only guy that heard that? And I said, if this is true, that's something significant. You know, I see in scripture that's, yeah, your greater works will you do, but I've never really saw anybody get up and just publicly proclaim, yeah, we do it all the time. And so that intrigued me. So I went down to the pastor and I said, you know what, I'll pay for the trip. I'd love to go to Africa. If this is real, I want to see this. And so anyway, long story short is we went and took my whole family, went into this intense Bible school in Africa. And what was fascinating to me is, in my opinion, there was zero grace involved. It was really a legalistic based church. Yet God's grace is going, these guys just believe I can do this stuff. And so I work with that and it makes it happen. So we saw some miraculous things. Now, when I came back to the States, and I'm so convinced this is why I actually went to that Bible school and was intrigued, is my brother-in-law was diagnosed with Waldenstrom's disease, which is 100% fatal form of cancer. Not one person's ever survived. Well, I'm excited to tell you one has survived. And so it's no longer 100% fatal. It's 99.99999% fatal, which means it's not fatal. And it's kind of like the, to me anyway, it's kind of like everybody's heard the analogy of Roger Bannister, this invisible barrier of the 4-minute mile. And nobody could do it. It was thought couldn't be done. And then he breaks it. And then I think the next year, 300 people did it. Well, what happened? All that happened is they changed their belief about a certain thing. And that's really what we try focus on is we've seen so many physical healings. It's just not even, I don't even call them miracles. I just call them, this is how God designed us. And we can teach people how to do that. And it works for everything. It works for money. You know, there's been so many people where their finances were X. And in fact, I just was with a good friend and he was unemployed. And just started to catch this thing that, hey, whatever you plant in your heart, this is the secret of the kingdom of God. You know, this parable of the sower equates your heart with soil. And we have the choice of what we want to plant in there. So if we plant good things, which is why I think Jesus in scripture constantly tells us, hey, guard your hearts with everything, because out of it are the boundaries of Zoe that you're going to experience. And so he had this perception that I really don't have abundance. God only maybe divvies it out somehow, you know, if I give this much, he gives it out. Well, wait a minute. Now that separates us from, he's freely given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so he just started to get a different image of who he was and started to see himself prosperous with the feeling that's already done, which is, we can dig into that if you want, is I teach a lot on supernatural prayer. And I just like to put supernatural in there, kind of like the Christian mystic. I go, prayer really should all be supernatural. We're connecting to a divine source of infinite wealth, infinite strength, infinite health, infinite everything. And it says we're one with him. Yes, of course, we're trying to get him to intervene. So it should be supernatural. But I believe he's given us the ability to just be one with him. And I think we can show that in scriptures, actually. And so then, he, you know, a few years later, he's top 1% financial services company in the world. And we've got so many testimonies like that. And that's what you and I were even just briefly talking about. I said, you know what, once people catch this and they start to plant something different in their heart, it says, we don't know how. This is the mystery, the mysterion of the kingdom of God, but he equates your heart as soil. Whatever you plant there, we don't know how is what it says, but we go to sleep and then we wake up. We go to sleep, we live life, but we start planting in our hearts and minds what we want our life to look like. And it says, then the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Obviously, there's a deeper meaning about salvation, but these also always gives us the equivalence. You know, in James, where he's talking about, I'm going to talk about that again this week, is the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. He's quoting Elijah. He said, Elijah was just a normal guy like Daniel and I. You and I, yet he was able to make it not rain for 3.5 years. And he's encouraging them about, because you are righteous, because you carry the righteousness of God. Not so, I love what Francois de Troyes says. He goes, what's right about the situation should motivate you in prayer, not the issue. When he tells you, you are righteous, you carry the same weightiness of Jesus himself. Kavot is that Hebrew word of holy and weighty. And because you carry that, what you pray is going to work, guys. And just really making people come alive to that. So, you know, physical testimonies are almost nonstop. Relational, when people start seeing themselves as whole and their relationships restored, so many miraculous relationships restored, marriages healed. And in fact, we were just teaching this one, and this lady calls me up and she goes, okay, how does it work? And I said, how does what work? She goes, I was watching your supernatural prayer. And I just said, I don't even understand this, but something in there told me to do it, to just do what you were saying. And she said, my friend got in an auto accident a year ago and has been in a coma ever since. And so all I did is I started to see him alive and vibrant. And how would I feel if he came out of that coma and alive and vibrant? And after 2 weeks, he calls me, doesn't even call the parents. And he said, I wanted you to be the first person to know that I'm out of my coma. So she was just floored of how it worked. And I go, I think that's that divinity that we're just tapping into, that we're so fearfully and wonderfully made. The effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man avails so much. So we're just trying to put it in practical terms so people can do it. And it doesn't have to be that man of God, that anointed man of God. All humanity carries the anointing, this mysterion of glory that's been revealed to us now in the Son. So yeah, too many to name, but they're all the time.
And we could talk for a moment just about how the world, what we call the world, has picked up on some of this, you know. Yes. And even in New Age realms, they recognize the truth that's there. What are some of those terms that they use for it? Like,
you know, I love science. I come from I'm an aeronautical engineer by trade, and I was pre-med. And so I've always loved sciences, but so the science, you know, science would call it quantum physics. And I, you know, a lot of times the church, you and I chatted that sometimes the church avoids quantum physics and science because they think they're not compatible. I think they're perfectly compatible. And I think once we understand some of the science behind it, it actually increases our belief of how amazing this life can truly be and how powerful, you know, God the Father and the Holy Spirit, this amazing life that he really gave us. And so they say things like this. This is why I think it's so comical listening to these scientists. The quantum physics guys would say something like this. We know that all creation, in fact, here's how they start. The lie is separation. And I'm going, oh my gosh. Nice. They go, all things, all creation is connected. And Max Planck, some of you guys know the movie The Matrix, he actually had his finger on it a little bit. He goes, everything's held together by this divine matrix that operates in gratitude and love. We know that all things are connected. And when there's even a vacuum, there's still something there. And so that's where the movie The Matrix came out of. But they say, yeah, all creation is connected. You and I are connected. We're connected to our Muslim brother. And it operates in gratitude and love. Whenever we're not operating in gratitude and love, we start to experience death, not only physical death, but lack of health, lack of finances, lack of relationships. And so, you know, I just showed a clip, and some of you guys can go Google this, of this medicineless hospital in China. And unfortunately, they're actually shut down probably you know, because of government and political and economic reasons, obviously. But they had a 95% success rate of cancers and diabetes, and it really didn't matter, you know. And here's what they say, because they really have a handle on the science of this, and they say things like this, is they say, whatever you hold in your mind, your imagination, which I would call that, you know, our mind, our brain, our imagination, and if you hold a desired intent, really I would call it our goal in prayer, our pictures that we create with our mind, and the emotion we feel with our heart, our inner man, physical reality absolutely has to conform to this field of that we're creating using our imagination and our heart. And so they just, you know, they show actually real time. If you go Google Chinese hospital, bladder cancer cured in 2 minutes. And so they just show these practitioners in this hospital that understand this, and they just see this woman, and they show it side by side. They show an ultrasound with the cancer, and then they show one real time. And you see that cancer just shrink up and dissolve into nothing. And here's what they say. Here's how they tell you. Here's how we do it. They say, all we do is we see, we don't try to get the cancer to go away. We don't curse it. We don't, all these things that I kind of grew up with the church. We don't tell it has to be gone. They just go, yeah, it's there. So we're going to, if all things are possible at all times, and that's what scripture actually says, but that's how the quantum guys say it, the physicists, they said that we live in this infinite reality that all things are possible at all times. And so they go, we're just going to observe a different possibility. We're going to see this woman completely whole, and we're going to feel her vibrant and whole and free and unlimited. And they go, without a shadow of a doubt, we know the physical always conforms to the spiritual. And that cancer just goes away like that. And they have a 95% success rate. And I believe that's Philippians 4. I believe that's true prayer. Hey, don't be anxious for anything. But in everything, you know, Paul's very inclusive in all of his writings. He doesn't leave anybody out or anything. The alls in Paul's writings are everywhere. If you go look at it, all, every.
I love it.
You know, he covers all. Because he goes, I don't want you to have any doubts. And you and I probably were kind of taught something like this. Well, God works in mysterious ways. Sometimes he answers prayer, sometimes he doesn't. I don't believe that. I said, I think it says, if you require anything, you shall have it and your joy will be full. That's very clear to me. And so, hey, don't be anxious about stuff. Just realize it is what it is. But in everything with prayer and supplication, let your desires, your requests be known to God with thanksgiving, that attitude of gratitude, as if it's already done. And the shalom of God, meaning the union of God, the peace of God is what it says, the irene in Greek, realizing our oneness, like you said, Daniel, that he's already given us all things. So if I'm praying for abundance, if I'm praying for health, he's already given it to me. I'm not begging a distant God trying to give it to me. He's given me all things that pertain to life and godliness, and they're available. And science is actually using the same verbiage. All we do is we see it in our imagination, we change the pictures in our brain, and we feel it with gratitude as if it's already done. Ye shall have it, so your joy may be full. Now think on these things that are lovely, pure, if there's any virtue. I think that's what he's saying, the union of God, realizing you're one with it, not separated, this distance and illusion that somehow he's a distant, angry God, divvying out prayer if your faith is high enough. Is not a loving father. You and I would never make it that hard for our kids. We would freely give.
Yeah.
And he's done that. And scripture says that. I just think most people have not been taught correct prayer.
Yes. And I think I'd like to at this moment highlight just what the kingdom of God truly is. There's this verse, let me get the reference here, Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's about being right with God. It's about enjoying this awesome relationship yes. with God that we have already. Thank you, Jesus. That he's yes. reconciled us to God. You know, that God never needed to be reconciled.
Exactly.
To God, per se, because he was always facing us. And,
yes.
But yeah, the peace, perfect peace have those whose minds are stayed on thee. It's like the King James Version, but perfect
yes,
peace.
Yes,
shalom, yeah. Shalom. If we fix our eyes on Jesus
And Jesus says, my peace. Is there any greater, higher peace than Jesus' peace? No.
Yes.
My peace I give to you. And that is the world gives. Not an, you know, stingy or measure, but fully.
Yes.
And then the joy in the Holy Spirit. We have a glorious future in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've experienced this swelling of joy to where I'm like, I'm exploding with joy in the Holy Spirit. So that's what the kingdom of God is all about. And we can enter.
It's all spiritual, right?
Yeah. We can enter
it's
as
in the spirit. That's what it says. Children. Yes. Yes. Like and the children means we have access to the Father's inheritance.
Yes.
That was to a Jewish context, right? As soon as I was bar mitzvah and I was a son, oh my gosh, that means I have access to the Father's house and everything in it.
Yeah. Amen. We certainly do. That Jesus is our big brother, that we are co-heirs with him of it all. Have not I given you freely of all things, you know, that he withholds no good thing from his beloved, and we are his beloved children.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It doesn't get better than that. The next step is how do we enter into that? How do we do it? And that's what we're really trying to do with our ministry is just to show people how freely they can access all of it.
That's wonderful. I would like to take what you're saying to heart, and I would like for our listeners to take to heart just this whole looking at healing differently, looking at prayer, supernatural prayer differently, and how to exercise this, and not begging God for things, but like partnering with him for the healing, seeing this different possibility that can become phase into our reality. It's just amazing. And besides, you mentioned quantum things and science. I was just on the phone with Bill Vanderbush. Have you heard of him?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were talking about that very exact same thing. Oh my gosh, we got some really powerful revelation. Let me break this down for you. Okay, you're gonna
think
this
is cool.
So
great, love it.
We were talking about numbers. He just mentioned it in passing in an interview he did with Sean Boss. 444. He saw that it, you know, God nudged him about that. Like, this is important. He didn't really know why. But I've had the same thing happen to me. And I actually, one day, three times it was highlighted to me, like a change at the store. It was 444. I'm like, huh. And it seemed like an angel nudged me, like, you know, like pay attention. Yeah. And then you know, that morning I happened to have woken up at 4:44 in the morning. I opened my eyes, look at the clock.
Yeah.
Before. It's like, whoa. And then there's that pay attention again. And then later on that same day, so I'm like, okay, you got my attention. What's this all about? And brilliantly, it's about the awakening. It's about our consciousness, our awareness of who we are as sons and daughters of God. It's about the sons and God being revealed in the world. Yes. It's about our awakening. This next great awakening that's happening. There's this event called the Send event in Orlando, Florida, where like 70,000 people gathered and they're worshiping the Lord. And it's just brilliant. The people are catching the fire of this. But here's what's cool is I had another instance with the 222. Okay, this came up in a certain day, like three times. And I'm like, okay, God. And it, by the way, it happened on February 22nd. That I'm like, and so I'm like, God, I'm not going to consult the internet about that. I'm going to ask you about this in my dream.
I did.
I asked him in my dream. And and the answer that I got in my dream didn't really impress me all that much at the time. They just casually said, the angels answered my question. They just casually said, it's dimensions. And instantly I was shown like this image of like a box, like 2 feet high, 2 feet wide, 2 feet deep, cube. And also, at the same time, I was shown the geometrical coordinates of X, Y, and Z of three-dimensional space. And guess what? The 444 relates to fourth-dimensional space. And get this. Yes. I was praying about this one day as I was going up to church. And I was praying. I was like, God, can you please teach me more about this 444 thing? What's this all about? Because I've already studied everything the internet had to offer. And some revelation on my own about it, but I wanted just another to learn more about it. I get to church and a guy comes up to me and says, Daniel, it's like this. imagine a box that's 4 feet high, 4 feet wide, and 4 feet deep. And yes. He says, then imagine, imagine a grain of sand representing a precious loving thought that God has for you. And if you were to drop that one grain of sand every second into this box, how long would it take to fill that box? And I'm like, a year? I don't know. 262 years or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was just brilliant. Like the profound love of God. God loves you in the fourth dimension. It's so far beyond what.
Yes.
I don't know. There's so much more quantum stuff going on with this too. I don't quite understand it all.
No, none of us do, but it's so exciting. We know that it's real. You know, there's something in our hearts like, oh, gosh, we know that it's real. Our heads might not get there quick enough, but you know, Einstein really had a lot of it figured out, where he was like, hey, this whole three-dimensional thing is really just kind of a mirror of what's going on in our hearts and minds. And he really just said, hey, you know what? As soon as you get past the space-time three-dimensional thing, there is no time. Well, I'm thinking, well, that's Jesus's life. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who should I say sent me? I am. I mean, I am my future, my past. And that's really where quantum's getting, is there's this infinite possibility at all times, and it's available to you at all times. And so, okay, well, if we can get that, now we're in the spirit, right? We're really into this oneness and union where there's the distance of separation between my prayer, what I'm looking for to change in my life, and me, there's no longer this space-time thing. I'm actually have it as we see.
Yeah.
That's where it starts to get fun.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the supernatural prayer that all of you have. All of you have the ability, and it's really not that hard. He's given us divine things, our hearts and minds. He's given us a mind that we can see things, we can imagine, we can picture. And he's given us a heart where we can feel. And those two things create when Einstein really said this, it's really kind of fun when you start talking about gravity and everything. He's like, hey, Newton, you know, had all things are physical and mass attracts mass. But he really didn't know that gravity was this, it kind of violated Newton's laws. He just made it up. Well, there's this thing we can't understand called gravity. Well, Einstein really figured it out. He goes, when there's mass, you and I, it actually warps space-time. And he goes, what's really happening is this energetic field is pushing things down, not the earth pulling it, for instance. Hmm. And now the quantum really understands that. They go, hey, you create this field that as soon as we get out of gratitude and love, it starts to not feel right to us. And we start to experience death. But when you're starting to operate in, how would I feel when that, you know, when we pray for healing, let's just use that. It's a good example. I don't go, hey, what do you know, what kind of cancer do you have and all these different things? So I can curse that cancer and a lot of things. A lot of times I'm just, hey, what's going on? And I don't pray for the cancer to leave. I see that person completely. And then I usually ask them this. I usually go, hey, how would you feel if Jesus was standing in front of you right now? And he said, you're completely whole. No sickness and disease can be found in your body. The emotion that you're looking for will come out. They'll usually say like Philippians 4 things. They'll say, I would feel so free. I'd feel so loved. I'd feel so much joy. I'd feel so much gratitude. I'd feel unlimited. I'd feel all these great high energy words, really. And I go, okay, that's what I'm after then. Because I know they're not. And then usually what comes out of their mouth after that is they start weeping and they go, I just feel so heavy. I feel so. And so that's the verse of all those things. And so as you're praying, you just see the end result. And I believe it's Mark 11, 23, 24, you know, where it's not word of faith, name it, claim it. If you really understand it, how it's written in the Greek, it says, therefore I say unto you, is when you pray, believe that you have received it. It's in the aorist past tense. Hmm. You'll have it. So that's what these practitioners in the medicine list thing do, is they see this person whole. And then I try feel the feeling of, oh, thank you, Father. I'm so thankful that they're unlimited. I'm so thankful that they're vibrant. I see them whole and I feel them whole. And they tangibly can feel it in their bodies usually. You know, I'll ask them, and I said, whether you feel it or not is really irrelevant. Just know without a shadow of a doubt, the physical reality absolutely conforms to what we're creating in our hearts and minds. Mm-hmm. That's how it works. And so, but 9 times out of 10, they'll go, I'll just ask them, how are you feeling? And they're like, man, I feel so warm. I feel light all over me. I go, well, that's pretty cool, because he describes himself as light and love and this consuming fire of love. And they almost always feel it. And you know what? I just think that's one more thing that he just gives us confirmation. If they can feel it, not that they have to, but I just think it's so much easier. And they go, I can feel myself tingling. And I'm telling you, if you practice it a little bit, guys, just that simple, see it and try feel it as if it's already done, your prayer life will explode.
Right on. Right on, brother. And we,
yeah,
I think that a lot of people when hearing this would struggle with unbelief, you know, and we can say with that one man who encountered Jesus, Lord, I do believe, help my unbelief. Cause Jesus has said some marvelous things, you know, and he says, it says in scripture, every promise God has made is yes and amen in Christ.
Yes.
It's yours. He's not withhold any good thing from you. And he says, you know, if you pray, believing, you can say to this mulberry tree, you know, be uprooted into the sea, or this mountain, be moved.
Yes.
You know, like there's such power available. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And, and I think God's asking, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He's like waiting for us to like lay hold of it and you know, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. Find things that you know, are resources even to learn more and of course scripture.
Yeah.
That Holy Spirit would illuminate scripture, because we need that to understand it correctly.
And I think to your point, Daniel, like I think, and I've struggled with this and wrestled with this forever, because I think when we say faith, I think it's become so abused that people really do struggle with it, because they think it's, I need to build something. I need to build my faith. I need to do all this. But if you go look at it, most of the time it's genitive case, meaning the owner of this faith is God himself. And so faith becomes natural when we, the easiest way is to get yourself into an attitude of gratitude, where usually when I pray, I go, what makes you happy right now? Think of one time in your life where you can feel grateful. You know, for me, it's like, oh, I thank you, Father, that I have an incredible wife and kids, or whatever. It could be something simple that I'm so thankful I live in Wisconsin, in your case, right? If there's something you love about it. Because what happens is the physical part of us is really fascinating. Your body goes, oh, Daniel's feeling wonderful today. And they release a whole new set of chemicals in your body that you start to feel better. Well, guess what? If you feel better, it's a lot easier to, man, it's working, right? I feel this is working. And now it's not this mystical faith that I'm trying to somehow say the right things or get my unbelief above my belief. And I think those actually detract from people's faith. And he gives us a very clear outline, like I said, in Philippians 4 and John 16:24 and Mark 11, and you know, all these different verses of really what prayer is. It's thinking and feeling. So find something you can be thankful for, grateful for, because it gets you into that attitude of gratitude where you start to feel it. And then you start to see your life how you desire it. And you won't have to produce it. It'll naturally just start to bubble up in you. And you'll start to feel as if it's already done if you practice it a little bit. It might seem like a million miles away, but I'm telling you, if you took 5-10 minutes and just do these simple things that we're telling you over the next few weeks, it literally rewires your subconscious. It rewires your whole nervous system. So you start to produce different chemicals. That's the physical chemical part, the neuroscience part. And you become that person. And it literally becomes pretty easy after that. It's not this difficult faith struggle. So the first step is just to believe, hey, is my heart really divine? Well, Jesus said it is. And whatever I plant there, I don't have to know how it's going to work. It will return. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. But I will get a harvest whatever I plant there. And I am so fearfully and wonderfully made. He's given me the ability to plant whatever I desire there. So just start planting. Let your mind start to go, how would I feel if I was unlimited abundance? You know, sharing, there was some friends earlier today, and she goes, my heart is just to, I wish God would just supply all my needs, and my husband and I just be missionaries forever. I'm like, okay, I can teach you how to do it. I'm like, what, you can? And I said, yeah, start seeing, how would you feel if that was you? See yourself in these exotic places, these countries, these things, and see yourself ministering to these people and their life starting to explode with joy and excitement and abundance and restored relationships. And
how would you feel? And they go, start recording those emotions. I would feel so unlimited. I'd feel so empowered. I'd feel so valued. I go, start seeing yourself that way. And I promise you, your heart will return it in a way that you don't even have to know how, but it'll produce the harvest and you'll start living that divine life he's given you.
Yeah. I think one of the important things you said just now was about, it was all important, by the way.
Yeah.
But about
every now and then he throws us a bone. We say something smart, right?
No, about Jesus' faith, that we're getting in on Jesus' faith. This is,
yes,
that's the gift that's in Ephesians 2.
He'll produce it in us. Yes.
8 through 10. It's like the,
yeah,
for by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift,
exactly,
of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So yes, none of us have to work up our own faith, but we get to get in on Jesus' faith and rest in it. Just like lean back, relax in the faith of Jesus, in the finished work of Christ.
Yes.
Because he didn't mean for any of us to stress out. That's the Sabbath rest that Christ provides.
Yes. And just watch what you're picturing in your mind and what you're feeling in your heart. He goes, guard your hearts and minds, guys, because that's where divinity happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he's no respecter of persons, that we're all invited.
No, you don't need the certain man of God or woman of God. You know, obviously he uses people for different things of the body, but all of you have this, and all of you have been given this divine ability.
Yeah. I came across something funny recently that made me laugh, and I shared it with some friends, but about act as if the universe has a crush on you. You know, it's like,
it's true.
That's how it's we can live our lives, really.
Yes, it really is true. And it's funny because that I was just reading a book. I'm not going to give titles because then people run out, but it really, and this is neuroscience again. These are the scientists, which I think it's so exciting. It says, your subconscious mind is where your self-image is stored. It powers your conscious thoughts and actions. Reprogram it using visualization, imagine things, and emotion, and it will reprogram your world. Get excited about your images. Energize them with positive emotion. Emotions are energy in motion. Gratitude is one of the most powerful emotions. Infuse every cell of your body with your images. Infuse every cell with the gratitude that you've realized what you desire to happen as if you're experiencing it now. You will receive it automatically by the perfect laws of the universe. Even before you ask, it has been given to you. Now I'm thinking there's scripture all over that, but this is being written by scientists. And it's really just becoming alive to those prayer verses, Philippians 4, and all the things you and I talked about.
Yeah, and I'm hearing the scripture in that too. Even as you say it, he just thinks Jesus.
And it says that even before you ask, it's been given to you.
Right? Know. Oh my, yes. We can live joyfully. We can live grateful. We can have a dynamic.
And these are scientists. These aren't
abundant lives.
These aren't Christians, guys. But they get it. They get it because they can't. Because science to them is, hey, it happened, and we can describe how. We don't necessarily understand. We just know that gratitude works.
Right.
Why? We don't know. And I'm like, well, scripture says, I think that's the mystery of the secret of God. You know, he is perfect love. And if all things are created by him, then how we function is to function in love.
Right.
That's how the world works.
Right on. The very fabric of the universe is love and faithfulness.
It's him. Yeah. Yes.
God himself.
Yes. You know,
in him we live and move and have our being. By the way, the move I just learned recently has to do with like the emotions, like being moved.
Yes.
Emotions,
energy. Yeah, that's emotion, is energy in motion.
Yeah.
And that's James 5 when he says the effectual fervent in King James. That effectual fervent is really one word, energio. And if you go look it up in the Strong's, it says of movement of energy as like current going through a copper wire.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah, you're just reminding me of like a powerful dream I had. And it's very reflective too, this dream. Let me share it just really quick.
Yeah, I love it.
There's something to this. I think what religion does to us sometimes is it, tree of knowledge of good and evil and all that, it confines us and just drives us crazy. We end up in a mental hospital. And that's where I found myself in the dream. I was in this mental hospital looking out the bars, and what I saw was kind of intriguing. I saw a picture, huge poster up like alongside of this building of a man just in a sitting pose, and the chakra lights were all there.
Yes. Yeah.
But there was all these brambles and dark roots and soot and all this stuff covering it. And then a mighty wind representing Holy Spirit, mighty wind of the Spirit. And that represented me. That was a picture of me. Mighty wind of the Holy Spirit came and brushed all of that away. And all of a sudden, all of these lights just lit up, you know?
Yes.
And then this energy flow happened thing. I don't remember the name of it, but it's like, yeah. It's like this tornado inside of you and it comes out and then, you
know, it's a vortex. Yeah.
Like a vortex thing. Yes, and by the way, there's so many people, I've had dreams about tornadoes and stuff. And it's like you getting awakened, you getting enlivened by God, and you become like a tornado of holiness. You know, it's
and science says all those things. It says all those things. They can actually measure your energy coming out of you if you look at you.
Like you're bigger than your body. You extend out in your spirit body. And when we're healthy, when we're lit up, people see Jesus in us. People will see Christ and God in you.
You can feel it, can't you? Women are actually really good at it, typically. They really have their discernment a little, not that men don't, but they're usually just more natural at it. And like my wife, somebody will walk into the room and I'm not even perceptive of it sometimes. And she goes, that lady just needs a hug. Meaning that she's feeling heavy and who knows what happened to her that day. And my wife can just sense, you know, that, hey, there's something heavy with her. And she might have the Christianese smile on, like, how you doing? I'm great, brother. You know, that kind of stuff. But in her heart, it's like, no, there's something deep going on there. And every time they just go, how did you know? And she's like, I could feel it. You know, you can feel it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, brother, this has been a really blessed
time. Yeah, my pleasure.
It's been an hour so far, and that's usually where it's how long I do my shows pretty much. But not that we have to stop. I mean, this is so good. Anything else that you wanted to share?
No, I think I love what you're doing and you know, we are truly fearfully and wonderfully made, and he's given us all things, and true prayer is just really coming alive to it and experiencing it. And it's really not that hard to teach. And so you can experience it. And I think what you realize when you do it, you go, man, I always used to do this as a kid. I just came naturally to me as a kid and I just get back to that, to that childlike faith is what Jesus talks about, where, you know, he's not this distant God. It's Jesus sitting there and wrapping his arms around the little kids and you're one with him. And that's the same Jesus that'll always be. He never changes. He's that loving father, that beautiful. So I always make it relational. I go, how would a loving father treat his kids, and how would a perfect husband treat his bride, you and I, the bride of Christ?
Yeah.
If we can understand that, we can understand the kingdom.
Yeah. Some of what I've been seeing in this show that my wife and I watch called This Is Us.
Yeah.
I watched that show and I'm like, they love each other so well in that show. I'm like, oh my gosh, I have room to grow. I see that. And I even pray into that. And I see the changes even. Like, I've had some pretty glorious last few weeks, even just growing in love. And
that's where I would just encourage people to do this meditative prayers we're talking about. Cause I think it'll shock you how fast things start to turn around in your life. It really is fast. It's not this long thing, because in the quantum, time is now. Your future is now. Your past is now. We live in the present.
Yeah.
And so the more we understand that, we're not separated by our prayer. In fact, we're one with it. We already have it before we ask. This whole idea of I got to pray hard and all this just goes away, and I realize I already have it.
Yeah.
And it's fascinating how fast it starts to manifest in your life.
Oh, yeah. For sure. So we get to just spend time with God.
Yeah.
Even as you drive in your car all the time. It doesn't have to get religious. You don't have to be like,
right,
okay, go into my living room, get on my knees. And
No, it's 24/7. It becomes your being after a while. Being,
yes.
Yeah. We just guard our hearts and minds. And so if there's something comes, you're like, no, you know what? That's not my truth is as he is. So am I in this world. So this is who I am. And you just kind of those little gentle reminders.
Yeah.
And that's praying without ceasing, just being, you know, it's like being reconciled, just be who you are in Christ.
Right on. And that I'd like to remind our listeners too, that his mercies are new every morning, that God holds no records of wrongs. Doesn't mean if you have experienced a failure or you made serious mistakes, you don't have to go on one more moment beating yourself up for that. Jesus never will. He forgives and forgets. He gives you a hug, he'll heal you, and give you everything you need, pure heart, everything you need to move forward. And it makes me cry every time he's so good, wonderfully good to me like that, and just restores me in his loving gentleness. And there's no such thing as outsinning his grace. His grace far extends. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So
hyper abounds,
hyper grace. Yeah.
People go, are you one of those hyper grace guys? I go, I'm so far beyond hyper grace, you wouldn't believe it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got to run too, Daniel. So God bless you and your family. Thanks for having us on.
Yes. And bless you, Mike.
Great work, my friends. Yeah.
Yes. I encourage all our listeners to go check out Mike Popovich's Freedom Ministries YouTube channel. Go subscribe to that. Go check out his website. See what else he's got going on at freedomministries.com.
Freedomministries.org. Yep.
Okay. Thank you, Mike. Bless you.
God bless you. You bet.
Bye. Well, thank you for joining this revolutionary episode of Sozo Talk Radio, speaking with Mike Popovich. I had no idea we were going to get that deep or go where we went into that scandalous theology, all those scandalous things Jesus said. Oh, my goodness. So if you'd like to hear more scandalous things, please subscribe. All the links can be found at sozotalkradio.com. You can download this and read a blog about it and find more content, links, all that good stuff at sozotalkradio.com. Big shout out to Fringe Radio Network for hosting this program. Thank you so much, Fringe Radio Network. You're awesome. And that was my cat. He concurs, if you heard that little meow in the background. And one last thing, if you want to join my mystical Christian page at Facebook, facebook.com, The Mystical Christian. You can find my new Christian mystic page and stay inspired to experience the mystery that is Christ and deepen your friendship with God. Enjoy your friendship with God today. God bless you all. Thanks for listening. And one more thing. If you'd like to support this work, you can do so at patreon.com/reflectworship. Also, you can check out our music ministry at reflectworship.com or download some music at reflect.bandcamp.com.